They say life in 40 ages just a state of mind.
I mean, I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I'm half dead, basically. 40's a weird age.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-age spread.
Hey, Endo! This is what it is! You put one foot in front of the other and,
Mommy, Daddy.
Today, we're going to talk about the fountain of youth.
Okay, now we're rolling.
Okay.
We're 40-ish.
I'm not 40 yet.
And this is it.
That's my 40-ish.
That's right. And I'm past 40.
But if you round up.
We don't need to talk about specifics here.
If you round up, I'm there.
See, I consider myself in my mid-40s, and 6 weeks ago, I was in my early 40s.
Oh, so, gosh.
There's a big difference there from a mental standpoint for a lot of people.
I don't think we use the mid thing in the 30s.
You get out of it?
No, your 30s.
Well, because when you're little, you want to be 7.5. I'm 7.5. I'm like, no. After I turned 21, I dropped the half because I don't need to be older.
Well, I've never referred to myself in my late 30s.
Oh, 30-something. Did you ever watch that show?
No.
I tried to watch it because it's on, you know, the streaming services.
I think that might have been risque when I was young.
Well, I know, but it's. I thought, you know what? At one point, I lived through that. And so I thought, I'll go back in and I'll watch 30-something and maybe I'll relate to it. And I related to it so much that I couldn't stand it. Like, I watched the first 10 minutes and thought, like, I can't do it.
No,
I can't
deal with
this.
This is too real.
Yeah. It was a drama. So they kept talking about the worst parts about being 30.
Right.
And not the best parts.
Okay, gotcha.
So, of course, now that I'm in my 40s, I realize that the 40s are where it's at.
Well, do you think, you know, people say, you know, 40 is the new 30?
Well,
30, does that mean I'm 20?
I have talked to somebody this morning. He's like, I said, you know, I'm a middle-aged man. She says, no, you're not. Life, you kidding me? It just gets better. Wait till you turn 50. It's great. I'm like, I'll just be happy where I am right now.
I know. But my parents, they're always jet setting off places. So retirement, it looks really good.
If you plan for it,
They did.
They're not having to be greeters at Walmart. So
no, they are not.
For a lot of people, retirement's not cool.
They are not, no.
I guess we should talk about
what
we're doing here. Yeah. So I guess tell us about you.
Well, my 30-second elevator speech?
Sure.
Well, names? Should we do names? Yeah. So, my name is Stephanie White, here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I am a mom to 2 kids, have a husband, you know, little yellow house with a red door.
Oh.
Live on the end of a street, isn't
red
it?
Red doors are a sign of fertility in a home. Well, did you know that?
Well, we just would know.
Oddly enough, we painted our
maybe
door
puppies
red.
Maybe puppies or something.
Yeah. Okay. We painted our door red in the spring.
You did that on purpose?
No. No. That's not happening.
But we bought the house that way. So.
Okay.
Okay. And I live online a lot, you know, with the blogging world.
Well, yeah, you built a business.
A business out of a little idea and a $7.99 URL.
And that URL is, it's okay to share.
LouisvilleFamilyFun.net. Okay. And then we have 3 sister sites now. Kentucky Family Fun, Shelby Family Fun, Oldham Family Fun, and who knows what in the future.
Okay. So we both live and work in Louisville, Kentucky.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Lovely place. Here, I've, you know, never thought growing up, I grew up in, you know, suburban New York City. I never thought I'd live in Kentucky. We had ideas about people in Kentucky.
Most people do.
And we just, now that I live here, I know, well, you know, this is awesome,
yeah,
this place.
Yeah,
like, this is the place. I try to convince people to move here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just think Louisville's, you know, I don't want to raise my children anywhere else. So I'm kind of glad that I met a Kentucky boy.
Mm-hmm.
Who said we have to go to the homeland, and we lived here, and so we've been here about 7 years.
The homeland.
That's what
so
I always
bad.
Called it.
I grew up in Indiana, so that's not that's not really true.
You know, so it's like, oh, go back to the homeland. So I was just always like a nomad. Like once I graduated from high school, I just went and always wanted to just land where I landed, and I didn't. I just never thought.
So
it
was
would
this
be
it
Kentucky.
For you? You
yeah,
think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've lived in Texas, North Carolina. Then we moved here to Kentucky, like I said, about 7 years ago. So we're
set.
And
you got Louisville Family Fun just to connect with other moms, right?
Yeah. So I started because when I moved here, I'm type A, really wanted to get out.
is this going to work because I'm so type B? And maybe that that'll work for the best.
Maybe you'll calm me down. So I, you know, aggressively sought after what to do with my kids, and I found this was like before everyone had a blog,
right?
You know, and before there were Huffington Post and, like, you know, just sharing of digital content. So I decided, wouldn't it be nice if there was a website where everybody could go and find this stuff instead of people like me who were trying to almost like create spreadsheets to figure out when all the story times were at the library.
Right.
And so that's what I created. And then it turned into a business, you know, about 10 months later.
Okay.
Because of the web traffic. So it's really fun now. It's still going.
So there was a need. You didn't know there was a need.
I didn't know there was a need.
Well, you did because you needed it for yourself.
Right. But I didn't know it as a business. And that wasn't the intention.
Okay. And you did. You formerly did a podcast on the Louisville.am network.
Yes. The Louisville Family.
And that stuff is still alive and well. If anybody listening wants to go. And a lot of that is still applicable.
It's evergreen.
I mean, yeah, right.
It's in our content. We still publish posts and the players in there and stuff like that. So that was really fun. But at that time, I went back to work. I went to work full time, and I still work at Big Brothers Big Sisters in the fund development and marketing. But the podcast, it just got to be too much. But then life flipped on me recently, where full time work got to be too much, and I wanted to get back to a little more flexibility in my mom life and my business and bring podcast. Like, I have fun with this. I wanted to podcast again. I missed the headphones.
Can I just say something? I was right about podcasting.
You were right.
I was right.
You're so right.
3 years ago,
You're
I was
so
right.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we started this thing, in, I guess it's been 3 years, Louisville.am, well, you know, people were like, well, how do you get to, I guess I still have people asking me, well, how do I listen to a podcast? I'm like the rest of the lemmings in the world, do you own an iPhone? They say, yes. I go, well, there's an app. It says podcast. That's
here.
How you do it. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not.
Right.
I didn't mean to insult iPhone owners just now, but
I know.
So I was right about that. I'm just going to pat myself on the back, but you know,
I believe it's purple. If people need help finding it.
It is purple. That's
there you
right.
Go. Mm-hmm.
just quick about me. My name's Dan Vonderhyde.
Oh, you get to talk?
Yeah, I do. I grew up in Southern Indiana. I'm married. I got 3 kids. No dog at this point, but that'll change very shortly.
Really?
Yeah.
Adopt.
I'm sure.
Yeah, go to the Humane Society.
Something
don't
like
look
that.
At their like Facebook feeds and stuff. You'll get a dog very quickly.
We look at them all the time.
Oh,
but
gosh.
we're going on vacation here soon. We'll get to that point, to that part of the show, but we lost our dog in November.
Yeah,
and,
so it's time.
And but we got new carpet very shortly after that, and I've enjoyed that. So that's where I am at 40-ish. You know, I find joy.
Celebrating new carpet.
Yeah, I find joys in new carpet and the lack of hair
that's
all over the house.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I still deal with kid smells and, you know, dirty dishes in the sink and all that stuff. But you know what? Carpet feels nice, looks nice, is nice. So
temporarily.
Right. I'm a digital marketing guy around town, but I have a history in radio. That's been where I spend most of my life. So that's gotten my interest in podcasting.
That's where it started. That's how I met you the first time.
Was it?
Radio.
I worked at Louisville.com when I met you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. You see?
That was a long time ago.
I don't remember.
That was like six or seven years
ago. That's sad because I thought like I had like a decade threshold on memory.
Mm-mm.
And this is within the decade. And I...
Here's another sign. I'm not going to beat the 40-ish thing to death. I'm really not, because we got a lot of stuff that we want to get to. But I'm in my mid-40s. And as a responsible man in middle age, I go to the doctor, and I go to him very frequently because I'm not worried about being overweight or anything. I'm worried about having a heart attack because that's just what you live with.
Right.
And so everything was fine. I checked out. I lost a bunch of weight in the past year, which is great, but my cholesterol didn't go down. So he puts me on this cholesterol medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And this has something to do with what you just said about your decade. That medicine affects your short-term memory.
Oh, gosh.
Evidently, for some people, of course.
Right.
You know, I could read the long list of side effects. But
mm-hmm.
I do find myself stretching to remember things from time to time.
Yeah.
It's a little brutal.
Yeah. That's where the Facebook memories, you see, you got to get on Facebook, and they have the memories now. And you can go back, and it shows you a year, 2 years, 3 years. It goes all the way back, and it just gives you your memories.
Don't you?
So you don't have to try to think.
But isn't that how you use Facebook? That's how I use it. Like, I don't we talked a little bit before we turned the mics on. I'm marginally interested in what people are doing in their lives, if it's positive, nice stuff. But I use it as a diary because
that's what I'm saying. That Facebook memory thing is awesome,
right? Yeah.
Because I go back and I'm like, what?
Do you go back and look at your old stuff from 2012?
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Okay, me too.
I love all the pictures of the kids and then just things that I posted maybe that I might have been worried about at the time. And I'm going like, what is this? Who cares?
Right. You know? But I think it would be interesting when, you know, we all have an expiration date. And this has kind of hit when my dad died 3 years ago. And so I can go back and see what he was thinking on any given day at any given time. Cool. And what he was interested in. And so whenever I post something on Twitter or Facebook, I think, you know, my kids are going to go back and read this. They're not old enough to at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But someday they're going to go back and they're going to see, wow, we really did have a nice time in the woods that day. Yeah. Or, hey, I remember going on that date with Dad and we had ice cream. Or I remember that Dad was a Reds fan and the Reds sucked this year. And
yeah.
But this isn't a sports show. So
yeah, but that I think is going to be as the tool progresses. You know, that memory thing wasn't there a couple of you know, even a year ago or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
the time when they kicked in the timeline thing, that's what really made me think, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Because I used to just share stuff on Twitter and then automatic post it to Facebook. And I tweeted all the time. And people thought, oh, my God, you spend the whole day on Facebook. I'm like, no, not really. I spend the whole day on Twitter. It just looks like.
Yeah.
So I stopped that, but. All right. Yeah. So this is our first show. We want to do this every week. And I'm going to put it out there to the listening audience. I'm an old radio person. And radio isn't what it used to be, or I'd probably still be working in it. But what I want, and I'm not, I guess my intention is to release this on Tuesdays. I don't know if that'll hold true. Regardless of what day we release it on, we want...
We have tacos with it.
We ought to.
Yeah.
Tacos and Tequila Tuesdays.
Yeah,
let's do it. This will get real interesting real fast.
Yeah.
My intention is for us to own somebody's commute to work with this.
Yeah.
At least on Tuesdays or Wednesdays.
Let's do it.
So they download it and it's there and we'll make it just long enough for so we can have 20 minutes in the morning and maybe 20 minutes in the afternoon to wrap things up. So we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. We're going to have guests from time to time. We'll go out on the street and we'll ask questions to people, that old man on the street bit, because I think it's, you know, interesting.
People are interesting.
We have specific perspectives on our lives. We both grew up a certain way and we have a way of looking in the world, but I'm always interested in what other people think about because they come from a completely different place. And I respect that. And I always want to know what it is they think. And not judge them or weigh in on it. Just go, huh, interesting. So well, maybe we'll talk topical stuff, and most of it will be fun stuff. So
yeah,
that's the deal. Today, we do have a guest. We're going to have a proverbial cup of coffee with food critic Steve Coombs, who is hopefully going to talk to us about how we can go eat good food without embarrassing ourselves with our children in tow and whatnot.
Yeah.
Places to go.
The challenges.
We're going to talk about summer vacation. It's that time of year. We're thinking about what do we do? Where do we go? All that sort of stuff. And then I like to wrap things up, and hopefully we'll do this every episode with words for the week so we can share something that means something to us in our lives that somebody might learn something from.
All right.
Is that all?
I'm good.
I hope you're in on board for that because you kind of have to be.
I don't have a choice. Right. I'm looking around for my coffee. I don't see my coffee. But, ooh, yeah. You know, we got to work on that.
We overlooked that. Okay. Okay, so we'll be back, and we're going to talk with Steve Coombs about Good Eats in Louisville.
Hey, this is Rick Redding, the Rusty of the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. We air every week on Louisville.am. You can find us there or on iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
Steve Coombs is here with us.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
I'm jumping in.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's not shy.
What I don't want is somebody to sit in the chair and twiddle their thumbs and look at me like, so.
It's bad on radio.
Yeah, it's very bad. It doesn't really translate. So Steve is a very well-known and well-respected food critic who lives in Louisville, writes in Louisville, and has a new thing we're going to talk about with him. And I don't know. You may be 40-ish. We're not going to get into your age.
51. Okay. Proud to say.
Okay, so you've lived through what we're sort of
he
talking
can give
about.
Perspective.
Oh yeah. Just had a 17-year-old graduate high school. So
oh wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Been there.
Congratulate. Are you an empty nester now?
Oh, no. He'll be home a little while longer. Not much, but...
Okay, but after that, I mean...
No, just one.
Okay.
We were one and done.
Well, that's great.
But no UK stars. So you got,
you're about
like
to
that.
Open a new, like a whole new chapter. You're
yeah, gonna, all absolutely. Right. Oh, a little freedom
jealous.
There.
I'm that's a little cool. jealous.
You may have to become a regular guest.
Yeah, because, you know, the 40-ish just, there's so much to learn.
Yeah, we're living it, but you've mm-hmm. lived it.
That's right.
Right.
That's yes. right. With only one. Well, I mean, like my sister and brothers say, they, you know, one doesn't count.
It does, though. I think you can probably attest that it does.
Or like Bill Cosby used to say, if you don't have children saying, stop touching me, you know, you've never really been a parent.
Yeah. Maybe so, quality over quantity.
There's a bad Bill Cosby joke in there.
That's
so
right. And it's, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm like,
I know we've got to get that out of our heads, don't we? Oh,
I know. Yeah. I don't know
can
if
you
want
edit
to be
that out,
quoting
Dan?
That anymore.
No, I'm not going to edit
stop.
Anything out.
Oh my. That's Steve my said joke. The Bill Cosby joke. It's That's all they're going to remember now.
Yes, he's taking his advice from Bill Cosby.
Well, Bill Cosby gave a lot of good advice to a lot of people for a long time. We just didn't know what was going on.
That's right.
When the microphones were off, allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, be careful.
I'm not going to try the guy. The press tends to try people and convict them. So I'm not that way.
All right.
So tell us about your new thing that you started up. I kind of know about it. The listeners in general don't. So
it is Eat Drink Talk. That's the name of the podcast, and it's at eatdrinktalk.net, which is where it's hosted. And Rick Redding, a veteran reporter in Louisville, and I had worked together many, many years ago and have maintained our friendship and have tried how many times, Dan, to get a podcast going here before Rick just said, get over it, get on it, let's go. And
he's good that way.
That's right. And Dan is good that way in that he produces our show. Thank you very much.
You know what that ties? I'm gonna tease my words for the week. I brought something that ties in exactly with what you just said. Get over it and get going.
It's all yours, man. Yeah.
No, I'll tease it. You got to wait till the end of the show to hear that.
But it centers on the Louisville restaurant and drink scene. And I've written about it for 25 years now. If I can, it's hard to believe. I was a chef for 8 years prior to that.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, Casa Grisani and Sixth Avenue, the Louisville Boat Club, some all stuffy fine dining places.
Okay,
that have since gone on. But
did you say stuffy fine dining?
They were stuffy. Oh, okay, yeah, for their time, yeah, absolutely. But they laid the groundwork for the restaurant boom that we are enjoying right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fortunate for me to be there at that time. But I'm a much better writer than I was a chef, and I enjoy this far more. And I've written about it, like I said, for a long time, and I thought there were many areas that weren't being covered very well. And one of them was the cocktail scene here is freaking amazing. We're very fortunate to have that, and I don't think a lot of people know about that, so we'll cover that strongly. I think that the bourbon industry, if you can believe it, it needs much better coverage.
Do you really?
Absolutely, because we're missing the personalities, and we're missing a hard business perspective that needs to be shown. That's interesting. Things that could be educational. But
are you a bourbon drinker, Stephanie? I know you like tequila.
I'm a huge tequila drinker. I didn't become a bourbon drinker until about 5 years ago, and now it's my favorite spirit.
My husband is a bourbon drinker, so I enjoy going to the Prospect Party Store.
Oh, it's my favorite in town.
And going and talking to some of the people, waving one of them over, telling them which shelf I'm willing to purchase from.
Do you walk in and say, hey, do you have any Pappy Van Winkle? And then you probably get the
they're like,
you know, I'm like, okay, not the stuff behind the case, not the stuff on the floor. Let's
the stuff that is about knee high.
You know, right here, I'm willing to purchase right here. I want a pretty bottle.
That's how I buy it too. Like,
so I
need to listen to you drink.
I very much participate in the bourbon industry.
Gotcha.
Without imbibing it.
Gotcha.
Right. love it. Maybe you'll come around to it.
Would you say it's an acquired taste, bourbon?
Absolutely. I mean, gin was always my spirit of choice from the time I was in my 20s on, and then I was introduced to aged tequila, and I thought, my gosh, this is fantastic. Got into that. Have been to a couple of distillery tours in Mexico, and at one point, I don't know what happened, but the bourbon light came on, and I was like, this is fantastic, and I've just dived into it deeply ever since. Okay. I love it.
Well, I'm surprised to hear you say it doesn't get enough coverage, because I see it all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get the voices out. I mean, to be able to hear Jimmy Russell and to be able to read Jimmy Russell, you know, who's the master distiller at Wild Turkey, is a completely different experience, and he's so funny, and you can't write like he speaks.
Okay.
And so that'll be great to be able to have those.
Yeah, that would be good. I think that was one of my last bottles I purchased, Russell's Reserve.
Mm-hmm. You're buying nice stuff here,
you see, you know.
Yeah. She's willing to part with some coin.
Just You can drink it too, Stephanie. Just pour it over a Diet Coke and you'll be fine.
I'm
just kidding.
Fred says, people
any
ask
damn well
him,
you please. Right?
That's right. Any damn way you like to drink it. It's fine with him as long as you're buying Beam.
My husband is fiscally conservative.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very nice way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap.
Except he doesn't mind any expenditure on bourbon. So I figured, okay.
Everybody's got their thing.
The best inexpensive, my favorite, I should say, best is always relative. When you go to Prospect Party Center, walk in the bourbon aisle, down on the bottom right is Heaven Hill White Label 6-year-old bottled and bond, $10.
Oh.
It's an absolutely fantastic cocktail whiskey because it's 100 proof. It'll give all the flavors that you want. As far as being a sipper, it's not that great. So it's a little rough.
Okay.
But I'd still drink it that way. But I love it for Manhattans. And for $10, I mean,
$10.
That's a huge bargain.
That's great.
6-year-old whiskey for
him. I can take the time to make a Manhattan.
All that stirring. Whoa.
it's awful. Just
mop my brow, honey.
I don't have time for that.
You got 3 kids, and you're just popping beers, all
right? That's exactly right.
Plural.
It doesn't take much effort. That's it. Okay, so you know about booze.
Yes. The drinking part, the drink.
Yeah, the eating part's great. We have fantastic chefs in this community that we're so excited to get on the show and let people hear their voices. Again, somebody like Ping Lui, he's at Asia Teak. He's from Malaysia. His accent adds so much to the conversation, and he's just devilishly funny. And I've never been able to write that into my copy as well as it is, when you can hear him speak.
I tried to sell him advertising once. I was going through this is back a long time ago when I was working in radio, and I was going through the pitch, and he just looks at me and goes, "How much, man?"
Stop talking.
Just tell me. He's a parent. He has 2 kids. He knows all about this stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Good guy, but lots of them. So,
I think primarily the question on our mind is, we have small kids. My kids are 11, 9, and 6, and yours are what?
9 and 7.5.
Okay.
The half is
right around
in
the same range. We live in chicken finger land and mac and cheese land.
Mini corn dogs.
Right. We don't. Now, when we cook at home, we don't make that stuff. Obviously, we're a lot better about expanding the horizons. If I eat another leaf of kale, I'm going to punch somebody. I don't get the kale thing. I don't get it.
No. We don't go that far.
But from time to time, we want to go out with our children, and we want to introduce them to new things without spending $20 on something that they're going to just look at and go, "Dad, I don't eat octopus."
Right.
So there's got to be something around here where we can experience good, local, finer cooking, and I don't know what that is.
One of the biggest and most important lessons I got from my son was him, for the first 3 years of his life, he was really starting to be experimental and tie into things that we were eating like that. Could have been kale. And then all of a sudden he started hanging around cousins and friends whose parents did not cook much, and he was hooked on the chicken nugget kind of stuff. Things that we would consider bland.
Salt, fat, and sugar.
Salt, fat, sugar. That's absolutely. But the lesson really that I learned about kids is their tongues are so much more sensitive than ours. I mean, those receptors die off over time. That's why older people like bitter foods and spicier foods.
All of a sudden, I'm a coffee and IPA drinker.
That's the bourbon
Absolutely. It could be the bourbon thing as well. Yeah. And so their little palates are overpowered by the things that we like. Textures especially. Now, texture I've never really figured out. He still doesn't like mushrooms, but this kid will eat sushi now. So texture may always be a thing for him. But we our expectations are too high sometimes. People think, well, if I just feed them what they feed them and they have never had chicken nugget, they'll always be on our food. But it doesn't work that
way.
No. I hate to tell you.
Well, it's like making my kid listen to Van Halen all the time. Yeah, he'll listen to Van Halen in my car, but eventually somebody's going to play him a, I don't know,
Justin Bieber
song.
And you're going to go, what happened?
Right.
And they're going to go, God forgive me, I failed. Mom, Dad, can we listen to that?
It is exactly. Catchy. It is catchy.
So that's, I mean, that's the first thing to kind of get in your minds is that they aren't, not only do they not want to go to those places that we all want to go to for our date nights with our spouses, but they want to get fairly narrowly flavored foods. And that may be, you know, typically is a sandwich. Typically it is something fried, you know, a fried protein, because it feels good on the palate. It doesn't, you know, it's salt, you know, catfish is, you know, salt, pepper, cornmeal, off you go. It's not complex. So,
and just to be clear, I don't eat squid either. I love what you're talking about. That's, I mean, that's part of my problem. That's why I have to go to the doctor so often.
Too much squid or too little squid?
Non-fried proteins.
Or the pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, pizza rocks.
Pizza's like the family go-to,
it's
though.
The best.
It's like, where do we go that's not pizza?
Yeah.
Right. And if you can work in, I mean, salad first, people, you know, get it in there. Let's have that while the pizza's baking. That's always a nice trick, too, to get them to do some of that. But yeah, it's tough. I know it is, because I mean, there's a whole other aspect of whether you can actually take your kids out. I mean, are they the types that want to sit in a restaurant? I mean, kids are kids; they're squirmy.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of gave up on our little guy for a while when he was probably, oh, I don't know, maybe 2 to 5. He just wanted to be moving around, and it's like, you'd rather go to your cousin's house, right? And we go out, it's like, yeah, probably so.
Right.
So he would eat what we cooked at home, but he didn't want to go sit. So sometimes our expectations are too high, I think, with kids. I mean, think about it. You know, like I said, I'm 51. My parents never would have taken us out to a restaurant when we were probably anything younger than 6.
Yeah, I always recommend outdoor dining.
Mike Lennox is great for that.
You're right, for families that are like, I really want to go out, but my kid's so squirmy. I'm like, outdoor dining. Give them, make sure there's a space.
Kids so squirmy, it's like
leave
redundant.
The table and go run.
You know, exactly. Let them go to a place where you can move around a little bit.
And if they scream, it doesn't bounce off the walls.
Right.
That is so right.
Right. You know, it can escape.
Oh, it see, ruins.
I'm telling you, I know about
and
this
my
stuff.
And my kids are old enough to they sit in their table. And I gotta hand it to them when the waitress or the waiter comes and says, well, what can I get you, sweetie? They all say, may I please have? Or
awesome.
Just give you an award. Medal.
I love
gold.
It.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't.
Big Flavor Flav size medal.
It's my wife. Yeah. It's not me. But, you know, me kicking them under the table might help a little bit.
But, you know, you
pediatricians always, why are your children's shins so bruised?
I couldn't tell you. But they're real polite.
They're just really active, climbing trees. But they have to try. I mean, I think if you don't expose them at some point, whenever it's the age for that particular child.
Always try.
Get
absolutely.
Them out there.
Give them a bite. See what it is.
They're
you know?
Not they're not gonna learn how to, you know, adapt or be polite and how to treat with you know,
I
that
think,
order.
I also think too that our culture needs to step back and understand again what dining is. I mean, it's become a replacement for the home meal, for one. Mm-hmm. So you take these children, you can have the best behaved, sweet kid who doesn't want to go to a restaurant, is not going to be comfortable there, and yet the parents take them there because that's their food source for that moment anyway. And now you got some rowdy kids, and you got people who are hoping to go out for an experience and, you know, a quiet meal where somebody's serving them, and then the kids get loud, and that's no fun. And I think people need to be cognizant of that it's not always, everybody's not going for the same thing. When my parents were going out, it was always a dining experience. Oh, you know, it was
mine
not.
Mine is because I don't want to do the dishes.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So
or
it's
a
different
craving,
now.
A craving or something like that.
So how can we as courteous human beings figure that out and say, you know, how do I still get my kids out to eat and avoid doing the dishes tonight and not make it, you know, a tough experience for the other people in the restaurant?
So where do we go?
Sometimes it's not even where you go, but what time you go.
Well,
maybe
true.
You can go a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm. Good tip.
That helps.
Right.
Because the restaurant isn't full.
Beat the crowd.
Exactly. Beat the crowd. Even tell the server, you know, could we have a table in the back maybe where we're not going to bother anybody? I don't know. Mm-hmm. They love it. They love it when somebody is conscious of that rather than saying, give me the one right there in the center where we can make the most trouble.
Right.
And there are people who are like that. I waited tables for a few years. You know them when they come in.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Louisville because this is where we live. Maybe it's just my perception, but when I think of the Louisville dining scene, there's just some she stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is any of that stuff appropriate where I can take my 11, 9, and 6-year-old kids, not even from a behavior standpoint, but from a menu standpoint?
Well, if the shishiest of shishi, let's just take an extreme with Corbett's. I wouldn't take children that young there because what's on the plate is probably going to be something they're not interested in. There's going to be squid there.
Yeah.
Right.
we've, and weird mushrooms and things like that.
Looking for a squid-free experience.
We've done the we've done Village Anchor with kids.
Okay.
Which, you know, kind of has its own ambient noise, doesn't it? I mean, it's a busy place, and they can kind of get lost in that noise.
But we've been out there, white tablecloths. You know, and I dress the kids up kind of to play the part and let them know, like, this is a little bit different. And they thought it was fancy when they came
That's
over
cool.
and they served at a carafe. Cool. They used, you'll know the name, but you know the little tool to clean the crumbs. I don't know.
Just the crummer. Called table crummer.
I thought it had a fancy name. So they used the table crummer, you know, and I thought it was good for
the kids.
That's
really cool.
But we sat outside because I, you know, wanted my theory of... All kids are happier outside. So we sat outside. They had, you know, we wore special clothes. And they still had French fries, but they were like fancy French fries.
Yeah, they're pommes frites.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a great point that you drew the line and you put them in special clothes. And that tells them this is a different experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is not just the same thing as sitting around our home table and going into somebody else's place. We're going to trash the joint. And that happens sometimes, too.
Right. So I feel like that... They've done a good job of it's accessible to families. I've seen other families there. We went there for my son's first communion dinner. Same thing. We knew this is a special place. We're not coming here all the time, but we felt comfortable. We, you know, nobody looked at us like, why are they bringing kids there? Yes.
They did. Okay.
But
do most places have kids' menus? Like, they're expecting it, but.
I think a lot of chain restaurants do because they're smart. There's that little corner that says, you know, kids menu or whatever. But a place like Village Anchor, just no one want to know about them, would figure it out.
So, yeah.
What can I get
they
you?
They do have a
kids
menu, but like I said, it is not, it's a different kids menu. You know, it's going to be a higher quality, I think, product.
Right.
And so, you know, what they were getting, even when they get it, even with presentation or anything.
And thank God for online menus. I mean, you can always go look at those
true.
Things and check that out before you go.
God, what's with all the planning, man? Seriously. I can't be that.
You just want to drive around.
Well, your kids are old enough now. I mean, involve them in the experience. Where would you like to go?
I can't even forget
then it's fighting?
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did it
I
last
pizza.
Night. And I'm like, look, at some point, Dad's making the call. And we're
Dad's
going here, and this is what we're doing. And on your birthday, you can choose.
It's too much power in the hands of the inmates of the asylum.
That's right. Oh, and I ask everybody, and then I'll throw something out, and two out of three will go, no, and that'll kill it.
Right.
I'm a people pleaser. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. That's why pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza is the universal family happiness food.
But then we got good pizza here too.
Yeah, like Papalino's or something like that.
Yeah, someplace I mean, we don't just have to get it delivered to the house, but we can go.
Right. And that's a cool experience too. I mean, part of my career, 9 years of it, was covering pizza. That's all I did.
Oh my gosh.
It was a great time. And there's nothing better than it coming right out of the oven. A delivered, you walking across the parking lot, it's a different pizza, much less drag it around in a car for 20 minutes in a sweaty box.
Yep.
So, but I really have fond memories of going to Pizza Hut when they actually had good pizza. In the early 70s, there was one over on Preston Street in Eastern Parkway, back when St. Joseph's actually was a building there. And that's fun, too. That's relaxed. There's no dishes to break.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pizza's great in that respect. But see if you can squeeze a salad in before it gets there, get a little bit of nutrition in it.
Oh, well, hey, they put salad on pizza now.
I like that, frankly.
You know? Funky salad.
I don't know why you'd do that. You know, I always say, if it didn't have a mother, I don't want it on my pizza. You're trying to figure out what to order. Now I got a daughter who loves, she's decided, she loves them, and she's carrying the flag for the pigs of the world. She loves pigs. She will not eat pork of any kind.
I'll take her share.
Well, tend to make up
favorite meat in the world.
So she, you know, we started buying turkey bacon.
Oh,
I can hardly even say it.
Oh,
it's not good.
Turkey sausage.
No,
it's not
turkey everything. Now,
but you know, we love her, and I really respect the fact that she is committed to this,
she has
and
some principles.
She's sticking to it, and I'm going to support her in that. But we really need to buy two packs of bacon.
Yes.
And are you going to drive like around the barbecue places with the windows down to try to kind of get her back and
doctor? No, she does. She goes when she'll drive by.
And, oh, that's brisket,
like,
honey.
Outside of Mark's Feed Store, there's like a big ceramic or stone pig, and she'll go, "Piggy!" And I go, "Yeah, they're delicious.
Yummy."
She gets mad at me.
Rhymes with tasty.
That poor thing.
Yeah.
All right. So we think pizza's always a good option, but it's not necessarily the most nutritious.
Unless you put salad on top.
Unless you put salad on it.
Or you know, start it off with salad. You don't have to. I mean, anything they can pick up with their hands. I mean, again, a burger is not a bad meal. A burger five times a week is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right.
One time a week, which is probably how often you take your kids out, is not a bad thing. Fried chicken is not a bad meal if it's got some green beans on the side, black-eyed peas, whatever. I mean, I love Joella's. I mean, right here in the neighborhood.
Right.
Love it.
Hot chicken is hot.
Hot chicken is hot lately.
But get the less, hot stuff. I can't think of a word
Mild.
Mild. Thank you very much. Good thing I'm a writer.
Words are hard.
There's a lot to look forward to at Eat, Drink, Talk, isn't it, me doing this? So, I mean, that's a great place. It's busy. It's loud. It's perfect for kids. You can't break anything there.
And it's local.
And it's local.
Which of course, we want to support local as much as we can. And if you're listening from outside of Louisville, of course, we encourage you to explore the local options in your town.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody has. I think most places are going with that local movement or the farm to table if that's an option.
Right.
You know.
It's difficult to pull off sometimes.
With some places, but anybody can find
vacation,
some of the
places. Especially vacation's impossible. We're going to talk about vacation next, but yeah, when you're out of town and you're trying to find something like that, it's just not, well, I guess the internet makes it a little easier, but.
Find me the hole in the wall. Find me the dive. Yeah. That's what I'm always looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I would, and that's a good point too, because my wife and I love hole in the wall places. Like Cumberland Brews is our favorite. Just go disappear, watch the freak show on Bardstown Road, and have a couple of beers. Not for kids, because old people like us are sitting around, and we're gonna hold our table for a couple of hours probably. Right. Not for kids. People bring them in. I know they do, but then
I'm
again,
not taking my kid to some place that has brews in the name, really though. I guess
most restaurants, in the name, but they serve quite a bit of food and good food there. I really like their
food. Do they? See, I never would.
Their Jamaican jerk wings are some of the best wings.
Okay.
So my favorite, I need to show.
But I live for the chickens, though, so I can't eat the chickens. I'm just kidding. I'm
just going to say.
Do they have pork wings?
I don't know about that.
So absolutely. So take them where they can eat with their hands. I mean, there's nothing. Especially, again, if they're little. Manipulating a fork is not easy. I don't know. Then again, I've seen these videos where these little Asian children can just move chopsticks.
Oh,
like
yeah. My
painters,
kids, of course,
with brushes.
They insist on the chopsticks. I'm like, you guys.
You got to put a rubber band on the end. You ever do that? Try that trick?
On the little.
Right in the end. You wrap a rubber band around a few times.
The long end that sticks out? Or the
not the
wider
touch.
End.
And up
then
at
you
the
put
top.
Like a little piece of paper between it so it'll have
up
a hinge.
Up on the top. And then you put the little, tightly wound. Somebody did this for us at a Asian restaurant. And then they're able to just grab with it.
Good life hack there.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, they'll do it for you if you don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, we learned that at the, I can't remember what it's called, but right on Shelbyville Road, the Oriental House, maybe it's.
Oh, yeah.
You could sit in a circle and they put it all on the,
that's
they really.
Ping Louie learned to cook.
Authentic food. That's where they did that trick for the kids.
You know, and you pointing out Asian experiences.
Because it was like, we're not giving you a fork.
I'm amazed at, what we always ate, we still eat at the sushi bar, and we would bring our son with us and he would get something else, but. Inevitably, one of the sushi chefs would take a shine to the little kid at the table and carve a mouse out of an orange or do something really cute.
Right.
I just think, man, that's the kind of place that wins my business.
It's a fun experience.
It is. They're engaged.
We like going to authentic Asian restaurants, too, because you can order a variety and you tell the kids, pick what you want. It's not like you're assigned to this one meal. You order it, and if you don't like it, it's like... Now you're hungry. They especially those turntable ones, it's just like turn it around, grab what you want, let them try. You can try one, you don't have to eat the whole thing.
Tapas would be good, would it not? Because of the variety and they can...
Absolutely. Tapas. Absolutely. In fact, our son was probably 8 or 9 maybe when we took him to Mojito and he loved it. Loved it because there's so many tastes. It's a fantastic restaurant.
Off the reservation at Mojito one night. Because it was my first time with that experience, and I was like, I'll have that, and I went crazy, and I I ate too much.
And then you passed out.
Yeah. Or, you know, have you ever taken the kids to a place that has a teppanyaki grill, you know, with the Benihana type presentation?
No.
They love that.
But
they love it.
I have friends that do that all the time. Because
and it's not terribly expensive.
It's entertaining.
Yeah. A bunch of noise and, I mean, there's a show.
Fire.
There's clatter and clatter. Exactly. Fire sizzling. I mean, they love
and
it.
The obligatory onion volcano, of course.
You got to love it.
It's great.
Absolutely.
Kids love it.
So
well, thanks.
Some ideas.
Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah, I mean, this stuff is gold, and we will share it accordingly.
Awesome.
Thank you for stopping by. And
my pleasure.
Eat Drink Talk comes out
every Friday at 9:30 in the morning. It is at eatdrinktalk.net, or you can find it on our Facebook page, which is just all one word: Eat Drink Talk. And like the page, of course. And find us on Twitter and follow us.
Well, you guys write on Eat Drink Talk.
We do
that too.
We
right?
do.
I mean, you are both writers.
That's
I'm dragging
right.
you kicking and screaming into the talking world.
But I love it.
At
it's so much
you.
Easier to talk about it, you know, and interview people. Hopefully we will be writing a whole lot less.
Okay.
Because we're old and our hands ache.
If you want food and you want Louisville, eatdrinktalk.net. That's the way to do it. Thank you, Steve.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers.
Yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
Great stuff from Steve Coombs. Hopefully everybody has a little more of an idea of where to take their kids and what they can eat. And I especially like the tip about getting there early so you're not driving everybody else crazy.
Yeah, by the time everyone comes, you're leaving.
And
you're all right, survived.
I have the well-behaved kids. But.
It's like early bird special.
Ugh.
You can do the early bird special.
Yeah.
And not be.
We're not that old.
So
let's talk about
summer fun.
Kind of a topic of the week is summer fun. School's out for a lot of kids, kind of lingering into June a little bit for some. You guys have any end of the year like traditions for the last day of school or?
We don't. Nothing? We really don't because, you know, my kids, they go to an after school program during the year. So they still do that. I think they'll do some special stuff like, you know, at the end of the school year for those kids have a cake or whatever it may be. But
yeah, hey everybody, you're not my problem anymore. Have a bunch
of
sugar.
We don't go crazy. Like I saw a mom on Facebook the other day, you know, it was the last day of school and they like greeted the kids off the bus with silly string or whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, I kind of look for my kids' life for continuity. You know,
that's a good point.
I just like I don't want to make a big I was also a school teacher. So I don't want to make a big deal out of celebrating lack of school.
The end of school, right?
Yeah. So I have been talking to my kids about reading through the summer and things like that because I'm like totally geeky. And so I don't really celebrate the end of school year because I don't think it's something to celebrate.
I do
honor like, yes, let's be excited about summer.
Right. Let's take.
But I don't view it like, let's celebrate the end of school.
That's a great perspective.
Oh my gosh.
Never thought
of it.
Did I
ruin
like
my
that.
Words of wisdom for the.
Oh no. Well, you can never have too much wisdom.
But... there you go. Yeah. But that's how I view it. I celebrate summer. Like I talk to the kids about what are we going to do this summer? What are we excited about? You know,
do you make a bucket list?
Not really. I mean, we have, you know, I have my iPhone calendar. We've got everything on the calendar. And then I know which days like that are the weekends that are empty. And I kind of fill with options, you know, things that we want to explore and do.
We do the.
But I don't get too planned about it because I think that leads to disappointment. Like if it thunderstorms on the day that I planned my special thing, you know, it's more like here's the bag of tricks. What can we pull out today?
Good deal.
Kind of thing.
We do the cultural pass.
Yes.
Through the library.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they came out and it's different now. There's a bunch of more stuff on it.
Yeah.
And it's an online program and they do this readings thing. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of.
You can find information on Louisville Family Fun.
Oh, well, there you go. LouisvilleFamilyFun.net.
Well, and you know, anybody, like this could be true of anywhere. You know, the library system usually does, if they have quality programming, those librarians, like, they, it's more than just books. They really take the summer seriously. So most local libraries have some special summer planning that's really, really fun.
Well, because we're all in a pickle of what are we going to do with our kids during the summer? I mean, I work, my wife works part-time, and there's stuff going on. And I guess when I grew up, I had a lot of idle time over the summer. I grew up in a small town. I could get on my bike and ride.
Right.
And
find
you
somebody.
Can't necessarily do that here.
Right.
So you just don't want them sitting around the house.
Right. So yeah. My kids are in a full-time camp. And so it's affordable. It's through their after-school program. You know, it's not when you have to piecemeal camps together, you're going to spend a lot of money.
Yep. That's what we're doing.
When you pay individually for a camp, it's like, you know, the rate is what it is, but when you enroll in a full-time camp, you still get a lot of those camp experiences, but it's much, you're buying almost like in bulk, and it's much, much cheaper.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they still go, this camp, they go swimming twice a week. They go on field trips once a week. They bring their bikes every Friday, and they close the parking lot down, and the kids go out and play bikes. They usually have water fun.
Where is this?
This is in Prospect.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's a lot of options out there that don't have to be that fancy, you know, expensive camp experience. And my kids love it. They still know that they're going to camp. And then I pull them out maybe for a week.
Well, they probably have friends there, too, that they look forward to seeing every day.
They have all their friends. The hours for some of those things are, for some of those types of camps, are longer than your, you know, day camp that you just go to for a week. You know, those are usually like 9 to 4. You know, my kids are 7 to 6. Not that in the morning, I'm getting them up and out at 7 o'clock in the morning. But if I had to be somewhere, I have that option.
There's the option. Sure.
Yeah. And you're not paying any more because, like I said, it's even more affordable than your, you know, your standard, what you would think of as, I'm going to pick 1 week for my kid to go to this camp. And then we pull them out for something like, okay, what are you into this year? You're into basketball? Okay, we're going to find you a basketball camp for 1 week.
Right.
And my daughter's doing the Kentucky Humane Society camp. And so she's doing that for a week.
We didn't get in on that soon enough.
Yeah, so I did that early enough. You know, we post about camps online in February. Mm-hmm. This camp stuff is for real.
No doubt.
Like, you got to get on it. I had someone text me the other day, like, whoa, what's your son doing for camp? I was thinking, I was like, you're going to be scavenging for, you know, an open spot in camps. But, you know, and we'll go on usually 1 week vacation. Anything else is, you know, filled in on the weekends.
You guys going out of town?
Well, my parents, we are very fortunate that my parents live at the beach.
Like in
South Carolina.
Okay, nice.
You know, they have the house on stilts. They have the outdoor shower. You just walk out the door. So, Allegiant, do you know about Allegiant Airlines?
Yeah, out of Lexington.
It's out of Lexington. Mm-hmm. Has, and you have to get in on this really early too, so I booked this back in March. They have like weekend flights to Myrtle Beach.
Oh, nice.
It is so cheap. Oh my gosh, it is wonderful. And you have to just drive to Lexington. It's not that bad.
No, not at all. I lived in Fort Myers for 4 years, and I want to take everybody down to Fort Myers and say, this is part of who I am.
Right. And so we're hopping on, you know, you got to plan. They only do it during the peak season. You can only fly like Saturday and Sunday, so you got to go for a whole week. But they go down to Myrtle Beach, and we're talking about like 4 airline tickets for under $600.
Oh my gosh. Really? You can't even fly to Chicago for that much.
I'm serious. And so it's a weird airline purchasing experience because it's a la carte everything. You know,
if you want a bag of peanuts,
it's like if you want to sit at the front of the plane, you pay $20 extra.
I see.
If you want to bring,
that makes sense.
Everybody gets one like backpack, you know, and that's it. And then if you want to carry on, you can choose your size. You can choose your size bag, and you're going to pay $20, $30.
But
then you only get what you need.
That's right.
So we're going to the beach.
That makes total sense.
My mother is like in love with doing laundry. Like she loves laundry. So we're bringing like 2 days worth of clothes and a bathing suit. And she'll just wash everything for us, you know, while we're there.
I love
that. We don't need all those bags and towels and stuff because we're going to visit family. Now, you might want to get extra bags if you need extra bags. But you only have to pay for what you pack.
You know what? We're going out of town. We're going to the Dominican, which is nice.
Nice.
Yeah. And this is the year that I'm going to pack my suitcase, and then I'm going to go back the next day, and I'm going to take 70% of that stuff out of my suitcase because I never wear it.
Okay.
I live in my swimsuit or my PJs.
Yeah.
And that's it. And if I have a couple pairs of shorts and a couple shirts, fine. I'll go. We'll go out to dinner at the.
Yeah, just minimalistic, and so that Allegiant people, you know, if you have a, they're flying all over the country out of like, you know, kind of middle market, smaller airports.
Yeah, like Fort Myers. They fly to Fort Myers direct.
It is a great option. So from here on out, we're just, I think every summer, we're just going to look at where Allegiant flies.
That's a great tip.
And go there. So cheap. I know. So that's what we're doing. And we're saving up a big trip for fall break. And then, you know, we just fill the rest of the summer with get outside.
Yeah.
Here's the hose.
Yeah, we are we're piecemealing camps together because they have a variety of interests and it's fine. I mean, but we did actually plan in some idle time at home because they like to be at home.
Right.
They like the kids in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I like that they like the kids in the neighborhood. And I bought them bikes. I want them to ride the bikes.
Like,
so, you know, we two live at the end of a cul-de-sac, so it's relatively safe from traffic and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, I love the childhood that I had. Because I did have free time to go hang out with this guy today and this guy tomorrow. And if we were playing a good game of capture the flag, it can continue the next day. And there's all that stuff. And so I wanted my kids to have that similar experience. But I also, you know, you got to take advantage of living in a bigger city because there's a lot of stuff
here. And explore
here.
Those options. Right. We will definitely go to some of the Louisville City soccer games. We like our sporting events. So we'll head out to some of those.
I won't make fun of you about the soccer thing. But
what? You don't like soccer?
Sorry, I grew football? Up in Indiana.
Football? You don't want to play football?
Sorry. Not my thing.
We love soccer.
Kids might like it.
So we'll go out. But, you know, baseball, bats, baseball, whatever, like the minor league team. But, you know, we'll partake in some sporting events for some special things. But the cultural pass, definitely doing that this summer. And, you know, just looking for ways to, you know, keep them off of their technology. It's always a challenge.
Right.
And,
didn't used to be. That's the world we live in.
Yeah. Because they're drawn to it, you know, and just getting them outside when they can.
You have a winning summer planned.
I do.
Nice. Good for you.
The win. Well, ask me at the end.
I will. Yeah. It's funny. We say all this, and then by the time school's like, okay, guys, go back
to
school.
But there's kind of like a little bit of pressure, you know? People are like, where are you going this summer? What are you doing this summer? Like, you know, like, why does it have to be pressure? It can be okay to be like, we're hanging out at home.
Right.
You know?
I dig it there. We built a home. Let's take advantage of it.
Yeah.
The one tradition that we have is actually end of summer tradition. We just, the night before school starts, we go for a frozen yogurt.
There you go.
That's it. Just one last taste of summer and then jump off. But
nice and simple, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. If you guys out there in podcast land have traditions you might like to share, then certainly we can, I guess we need to find a way to get them. You can make a comment here on the podcast page.
Yeah, we will get social eventually.
We'll get all that stuff set up. We did plan this a little bit.
We just wanted to talk. Yeah. When we get graphics and stuff, we'll put those on social media places where people can have conversations with us.
You know what? That leads me to my words of wisdom, Stephanie.
Oh, you have words of wisdom?
We'll wrap up the episode with...
You can give yours.
I want to do this.
I gave mine already.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, during my impromptu, right?
Well, why don't you reiterate that?
What was it?
I can't remember what it was.
Short-term memory. I don't even.
Okay. Well, are you on cholesterol medicine?
It was so wise that it just blew.
That's fine. All right. Everybody rewind and find whatever she said.
It was a fleeting moment of brilliance.
My words of wisdom come from yesterday. They had closing ceremony at our school, and the kids, kindergarten through sixth grade, get up and they do these recitations. And of course, the presentation is, mama, mama, mama. They don't put any emphasis on what they're saying. They've memorized these Bible verses or poems or these things. But I had my third kid get up. He's a kindergartner, and he read or he recited this little thing that now I've heard three of my kids do it, and I think it's good advice.
Okay.
And I think that it's applicable to what we're doing today because we're leaping. We're taking a leap. We're doing something that we weren't doing before. We're making something. We're creating something. So
I'm ready.
You may have heard it. I have no idea how popular this thing is.
And I've remembered mine.
Okay. This is called Mr. Meant To.
Okay.
Mr. Meant To has a comrade, and his name is Didn't Do. Have you ever chanced to meet them? Did they ever call on you? These two fellows live together in the house of Never Win. And I'm told that it is haunted by the ghost of Might Have Been.
Yes, I think I have.
I do have a mic.
That. Drop the mic.
I think that is, I mean, it, I would encourage everybody, if you have something that you think you might want to do in life and you really it gets you excited about getting up every morning, do it. Yeah. What are you waiting for?
I know.
I mean, don't be Mr. Meant To, and certainly you don't want to be haunted by the ghost that might have been. So those are my words for the week.
There you go.
Right.
No, mine were to celebrate summer, but not celebrate the end of school.
Right. That's
right. To celebrate summer without diminishing the education, you know, and just kind of, because, you know, I'm a former math teacher, so I always had the people, I'm always educating people that I see and parents about not playing up.
School is not bad. School is great.
How bad they were at math or something like that. So don't celebrate the end of school. Just celebrate the opportunities for summer.
Regardless of the problems with whatever the education system is, and there's problems with every system.
Right.
There is still an enormous opportunity in this country to learn and improve yourself. So
it's empowerment.
For as a parent, for us to sort of buy into that school sucks sort of thing and, it's almost over.
We don't have to do homework anymore. Isn't that great?
We're actually piling on.
Right.
And I'm going to adjust my behavior as a result of what you've said.
Yeah, you say it's a job well done. We're going to have so much fun exploring cultural and learning in a different fun way this summer. But, you know, I'm proud of you for the school year, and next year is going to be even better.
I love it.
You know, positivity.
Well, thank you, everybody, for sitting through the first episode. I liked it. Did you like it?
I did. Okay. I had fun.
We have, like I said, every Tuesday we're going to put out something new. We have all sorts of stuff we'll talk about to help parenting stuff and help non-parenting stuff for people roundabouts our age. We're all, I think a sociologist would say we all live a very similar life, regardless of our background, because our minds are wired that way. Mm-hmm. So that could be wrong. If you're a sociologist, I'd be interested in talking to you about it on the show. So listen, everybody, thank you for tuning in, downloading, all that stuff. We'll get back to you with social media channels. Stephanie's going to take care of that because I have some beer to drink.
And margaritas for me.
See you, everybody.